touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I've met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him.
To praise Him,
how shout it while eternity goes. He touched me.
He touched me back in 1968. I never been the same. And don't ever want to be, so we'll be okay. I'm going to Psalms 128. This is Labor Day. I want to talk to you about the law of labor today. So Psalms 128. And we're going to read the whole chapter. Sounds like a lot, but it's not. Let's stand together in honor of God's word. Psalms 128. If you're able to stand, I should say, because some aren't, and that's okay. When you can't, you don't. And we like it just as well. Verse number 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." Verse 2 will be our text. "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the psalm. Thank you for the message today that we can give. And God, I pray that you'd help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. God, just bless the preaching and bless, Lord, these that have come out today to be in your house. We do pray for those who are sick and unable to be here today. God, we pray for them that you'd help them in their trials in this day, God, and just bless this service. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. There's all kinds of laws that we have to honor in life. That is, if we want our life to be worthwhile. Some laws are have enormous ramifications, such as the law of gravity. It's a good thing to honor that law, because if you don't, it hurts. the law of inertia. How about the law of the harvest? There's another law that I want us to think about this morning. It's the law of labor. Now, we don't usually think of this law. Or we don't think of it as a law anyway. But it is. It's a law of God. It's a rule of action that's established by God in the book of Genesis. And we'll look over there in a little bit, but it is a law. Here in verse number 2, he said, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." Paul said in 2 Timothy in chapter number 3, 2 Timothy in chapter number 3 and verse number 10, Paul said, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with all quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come before you and recognize, Lord, that this business of work is vitally important to you. Lord, brought upon us by the fall and become a part of our life, a law in our life, if we want to live a good, decent life. We just pray that you'd guide now as we strive to grasp the truth of this law today. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. It's Labor Day tomorrow. Today is Labor Day Sunday. Many years ago, Congress set aside the first Monday in September as a special legal holiday for the purpose of honoring all working men and women. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? How do you honor work by taking off? But it is government, you know, and they don't think like we do. So many years ago, I began calling it Last Fling Sunday. I call it that because it's the holiday just before everybody is really settles into the school year. Now, back when I was a kid, actually, the first day of school was always the Tuesday after Labor Day. I mean, it was, you could just count on it. It was the Tuesday after Labor Day. It won't be long before it's the first day of June, you know, and school will get out around the last day of May or something, you know. But they keep working the same amount of days, but they work in more holidays and stuff until it stretches it out. But Labor Day is set up, is still thought of as that last opportunity to get out of town, to go do something before you just got to settle down. You know, the kids are back in school and they're back in sports and they're back in art or music or whatever they're in, and they're back in all that stuff. And so we come back home and and settle in for the long pull. And so I always call it Last Fling Sunday because it seems like everybody takes off. Now, we got a fairly good crowd here this morning. I was thrilled because I already knew of several that were going to be gone and are gone. But you guys showed up well, and I want to thank you for being here this morning. I'd like to say to all of you men and women that go to work every day, bring home the bacon and provide for your families and pay your taxes, God bless you. God bless you. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people today that just want to live off of what you make. They want you to work so they don't have to. And that's just a sad reality. You're the salt of the earth. You're the backbone of our nation's economy. Without you, we'd just be a nation of misfits and loafers. Now, I understand, folks, that some people are trying to work and can't. I understand that. And I have a real heart for that. But a guy was in here the other day who was an oil field hand and was out of work, and he was telling me that he was hoping the next day that he would be hired on by McDonald's. He had done an interview. He wanted to be hired on by McDonald's. Now, I think a lot of a guy like that, you know, rather than just sit down and say, if I can't get a job that pays like that when I had in oil fields, I'm just not going to work at all. I think a lot of a guy like that to go over and get a job flipping hamburgers and doing what he has to try and put a little food on the table and pay the bills, you know, certainly the quality of living would go down immensely, but he's still trying to do it, and I honor that. I think great about that. But I realize there's a lot of people trying to go to work and can't, and we just pray for you that if you're one of those people, and just seems like. Even you can't even get a job at Denny's, you know. Well, you're in trouble, and I know that. And but we've become a nation, it seems like, that honors more those that can't work or won't work than those who go to work every day. I mean, you hear more about them, you honor them, you lift them up, you try and do more and more and more for them. And I just want to take a minute today and say to those who work, thank you. God bless you. I appreciate who you are and what you've done. In the book, in Charles Jones' book, it's entitled Life is Tremendous. He talks about the number one key to success. He says a lot of people think work is the key to success, but that isn't so. A lot of people work at work and never seem to get anywhere or get anything done, while other people seem to do less and get all the rewards. As he examined the workforce, he found out that people were cheating. Oh, not in the sense of doing something illegal. They just weren't following the normal rules of labor. Instead of enduring what they did, they were enjoying it. Think about it. They were actually enjoying their work. And that, he says, ladies and gentlemen, is the key to success. Amen. Getting excited about your work. Amen. Enjoying your work. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. There's a little Japanese boy that's hunting work. One person that he asked about a job said, I don't have enough to keep a person busy all the time. And the boy said, oh, you'd be surprised how little it takes to keep me employed. Or maybe you heard about the new county highway worker who complained to his boss. He said, I've been working for the county now for 2 weeks and I still haven't been issued a shovel. And the boss said to him, you've been getting paid, haven't you? The worker said, sure, but that isn't a problem. The problem is all the other guys have something to lean on. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let me talk to you about three things about work today. Number one, work is honorable. Work is honorable. Paul makes that clear in his epistle to the Thessalonians that we read a while ago. And these people, and I'm going to go back over here and kind of read part of this again. He says, "For when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, he should not eat. For we hear that there be some which walk among you disorderly, not working not at all, but are busybodies." He said that these people aren't working. They have too much time on their hands, and they've become disorderly. They're misdirected. They're gossipy, and Paul cautions against that, and he also cautions down, as you read on down there, against having much to do with that kind of people. He says in verse number 14, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." But he's not wanting to totally disown that guy. He says in verse number 15, "Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." But what he's saying is a person ought to be able to hold himself up, to lift his head high if he's working, because work is honorable. And if he just refuses to work, then he ought to be ashamed of that. That ought to be his hindrance. Sometimes you see people that don't work and they've got absolutely no self-esteem and no drive. What's the reason for that? Well, it's called guilt. You know, I mean, like I said, there's generally a job you can get out there. It may just be flipping hamburgers, but it's something. It's something, you know. Some kind of something that you can do to keep yourself busy. He said in verse number 10, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, if we still lived in that society, we'd have a lot more workers than we do. The wages wouldn't be as high. But then neither would the prices be as high. But we'd have a lot more workers than we do. But because we feed those who don't work and supply them housing or take care of them one way or another, then what we do is we say, it's okay. It's okay. Now, there are some, and let me put this disclaimer in here to begin with so I don't get myself in a lot of trouble. There are some people who can't work. I mean, there's people who physically can't work. There's people who mentally can't work. There's people who are too young to work, and there's people who are too old to work. But there are some who have a perfectly legitimate excuse for not working. But most people that don't work in our nation could work. You know, you drive around the circumference of Carlsbad. How many times do you see the sign that says for hire? Or now hiring? Or apply within? Or apply on the internet? Or, I mean, how many times do you see that kind of that kind of thing up, and you think, why can't anybody work? And I'll just tell you the truth, I have the same thoughts. I have the same thoughts. Listen, I don't want to wait tables, but I'd rather wait tables than starve. And I'd almost rather starve than depend on the government to feed me. That's just a pride thing, I know, but that's just how I am. Work. Work. It's honorable. It's honorable. All work is honorable. As long as it's honest and as long as it's got the blessing of God on it. I think we place too much importance on the kind of work we do. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's working in a bank or being a roughneck out in the oil field. It doesn't matter whether you're a pharmacist or a musician. It doesn't matter whether you work for the city collecting garbage or work for the IRS collecting taxes. It just doesn't matter. It's if it's paying the bills and providing for your family, it's honest, then it's honorable. It's a good thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work in the grave." God said, "Work now, because there's coming a time when you can't." Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23 says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord." In other words, when you go to work, I personally think that Christians ought to be the best workers on the job. Amen. I believe that. And if I worked with a guy who told me that he was a Christian when I was out working in the secular world, who told me that he was a Christian, but yet he was a lazy bum on the job, I didn't think he was a very good one. You know, a Christian ought to be the best worker. A Christian ought to do what they have to do, and then if they got a little time left, do something else. Find something to do. I mean, I got myself in trouble in a unionized workplace one time because I was working as a mechanic and trying to build back up a forklift that somebody else had tore apart. That's always fun, trying to redo somebody else's job. And I was trying to build this thing back up, and I needed to press out some bearings, and there wasn't a press around. And I said to a guy, I said, "Where's the press?" He said, "Come with me." And I followed him, took me outside beside the building, and showed me this mangled, wrinkled up piece of metal. And he said, "There it is." He said, "God bless you." So I said, "Where's the welder?" So he took me inside, and he showed me the welder, and I put on a welding helmet, and I welded the press back together, pulled it around, straightened it out a little bit, welded it back together, and pressed my bearings out, and the next day came along, and I was in the boss's office. He said, "By the way," he said, this is a unionized shop. Mechanics don't weld. Welders don't do the job of electrician. Electricians don't mechanic. He said, "It's a unionized shop." I said, "That's too bad." Because I thought we ought to be able to do whatever needs to be done. You know, I'm the old-fashioned type. But actually, he changed my job, made me a welder because the press held together. But because nobody else had been able to keep it together. And so he said, "Yeah, you must be a welder." So anyway, I said that to say this. I think the Christian ought to be the guy that goes in and does the job. You know, I mean, if you're working down here at McAllister's and things begin to get slow, grab a broom. Don't wait for the boss to come and tell you to grab a broom or to clean off the tables or whatever. Grab a broom. Why? Because you're a Christian. You mean I have to have a broom because I'm a Christian? Yes, because Christians ought to be the best workers on the job. You know, not only grab a broom and start sweeping and sweep with a smile. Did you know I found out I could always smile better doing a job because I wanted to do it than I could because I waited till the boss told me to do it? Well, who do you think I am? I'm just a sweeper. When I was a young worker one time, I worked in a mechanic shop, and they wanted me to do a bunch of cleaning and painting in this shop, and I wanted to be a mechanic, and they was telling me to move all this stuff and clean all this stuff, and I was grumbling and griping about it and going around, and I was doing the job, but I'll guarantee you everybody knew I wasn't happy about it. I'm glad I wasn't a Christian yet, because that certainly wasn't very Christian action, was it? Listen, I was getting a paycheck, I ought to be willing to do the job, right? Because if you're a Christian, the Bible says work as if you was working for God. Not as if you was working for the employer, as if you was working for God. Amen. Now, if you work for God instead of the employer, you'll have a whole new attitude about work. And you'll recognize that your labor is an honorable thing. It's a good thing. Occasionally I've seen commercials on TV that downgrade what people are doing and try and instill with them a sense of dissatisfaction, you know. For instance, they say, are you tired of being a homemaker? Move up to being a doctor's assistant or become an x-ray technician or something, you know. I mean, as if there was something wrong with being a homemaker. Listen, I've tried to do my wife's job a couple of times. I didn't like it a bit. It's work. Especially when there's still kids at home, it's work. And so, mom, dad, if you're where God wants you, there is no moving up. You're in the highest possible position. The position of where God wants you. And praise the Lord for that. If it's honest and blessed of God, it's honorable. The second thing I want to see as we go to Genesis, I told you we'd get over there, Genesis in chapter number 3, I want you to know that work is hard. You say, I already knew that. I know, but it's rightfully hard. It's supposed to be hard. God says, Genesis in chapter number 3, verse number 17, he says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. From dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And so we see here the curse that caused work to be hard. If you're ever going to accomplish anything, you have to work for God. You have to work hard. Had an old professor one time, and he came to before the class one day, and he had this habit. Before we left, the day before, a lot of times, not every day, but a lot of times, he'd give us an assignment. Read this chapter, or do this exercise, or find out this the definition to this, or, you know, he'd give us a little project every time. And then the next day he would come in and he would get in his roll out, and he'd begin to go down the roll, because there were about 400 of us in that class. And he'd go down the roll and he'd stop his finger on a name and he'd call that person's name, and they'd stand up and he'd say, come up here. And they'd come up. And he'd say, well, if you remember last class, he says, I told you to. And he'd give us the project that he told us to do. And he'd say, what'd you find out about that? Now, some kids, they didn't do the project, and they tried to lie their way out of it. They tried to make it sound like they had done what they were supposed to do. And so they would say, well, it says this and this and this, and they'd take some wild guess about what they were, what they thought it was, and he'd begin to question them about it, just because he liked to push a guy into a corner, not because he thought they'd actually read their assignment and still just didn't quite get the answer. He'd begin to question about it. He'd finally push them into a corner where they'd have to say, well, really, I didn't do it. And then he'd say, well, I guess for the day you get a great big fat zero. And he'd mark a zero on his paper there, in his little book where your name was, and that was your score, your grade for the day. One day after he gave a particularly obnoxious guy a zero, he looked out at us as a class and he says, "Now, men," because it was a class of men. It wasn't a mixed class. It was a preacher boys class. And he said, now men, do something hard. Nothing is worthwhile if it's not hard. You'll find out that if you're going to accomplish anything in life, you're going to have to do some things that are hard. And that stuck in this old pea brain of mine. Work doesn't come easy. That's what the thorns and thistles are all about in the verse here. When he said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, he was saying, whatever kind of work you'll do, it'll cause you to become tired and weary. Makes no difference if you're the labor hand or the boss. It'll cause the same thing in the end of the day. You work hard, you find out that you wear out. And by the way, the Lord's work is no different. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen, when it says wrestle there, that's work. That's work. Studying the Bible is work. Praying is work. Witnessing is work. Soul winning is work. Getting a song or song service ready is work. Teaching a Sunday school class is work. Preaching is work. Calling is work. And by the way, we're going to need a bus worker soon, a driver and worker. And you know, I've walked the streets of Carlsbad and I've knocked the doors, every door in Carlsbad, more than one time. And I've met up with every kind of opposition possible, from the mad dog to the mad person, you know. I mean, every kind. I've had to fight against the thorns of opposition as well as the thistles of being misunderstood. I've experienced the thorns of ridicule and refusal and suffered through the thistles of fatigue and failure. And I've even suffered the thorns and the thistles of the yard that's not well managed, you know. And I've learned through the years that ministry as well as secular work is a battlefield, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. Not a game. I've seen people drag themselves home after a week of vacation Bible school so tired they could hardly stand up. I've seen people come home from camp so tired that they wondered if they'd ever get rested up again. Listen, it's all hard work, and work is all hard. Doesn't matter what it is, whether you're working in the oil field or whether you're preparing a sermon for or a Sunday school lesson for Sunday morning. It's all hard work. If it isn't, it's not work. Work is hard, but it's honorable. And then thirdly, I want to say work is healthy. Happy shalt thou be, he said in our text, and it shall be well with thee. Work is healthy. It's profitable. There's something therapeutic and profitable about work. It's profitable first for the body. Work aids in the sleep process. It stimulates the brain. Keep you from having Alzheimer's. It exercises the muscles. It gets rid of excess fat. Not quite enough of it, but some of it. And it helps in the elimination of waste. Recently, I read a story about a poor girl whose body was frail and sickly, and it was unlikely even that she would live. And her mother put her to work moving a large stone from down at the bottom of the hill up to the front of the house to become part of the decoration around the house. I mean, this was a large stone. Took a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of thinking, planning, doing. Day after day, she worked at it, inch at a time. She moved the rock. After 2 months of work, the rock was finally in place. The girl, Venus Williams, who went on to become one of the greatest tennis players of all time, winning the Wimbledon 6 times. work. It's healthy. It's healthy. Of course, nowadays, that lady would be arrested for child abuse, and that woman would have been nothing, but her mother had a different idea on how to take care of the problem. It's profitable for the body. Then it's profitable for the soul. He says, happy shalt thou be. Happy shalt thou be. Now, happiness is a sense of satisfaction, and that's a quality of the soul. Excuse me, I got my pages stuck together here, and I'll have to start back at the beginning if I miss this last page. So I'll go ahead and unstick the pages, because you don't want me to go back to the beginning, do you? A person's soul has to do with the senses. You know, I mean, touch, taste, feel, you know, smell, hearing, seeing, all part of the soul. Work stimulates the senses. It stimulates the things that are part of the soul, and so it's profitable for the soul. It causes us to use those senses that are within our body, you know, and so it's profitable for the soul. Then I see it's profitable to the spirit. He said, "It shall be well with thee." It shall be well with thee. Now, the spirit is that part of man that communes with God. When you're in communion with God, you're right with God, it's well with thee. That's all there is to it. Now, you can be right with God as long as you know you're doing what God wants you to do. You know, you don't have to be the CEO of a company to be right with God. You might be the toilet scrubber in a business, you know, a hamburger joint or a convenience store or something. That's okay. That's okay, as long as you're right with God. If you're right with God, it'll be well with thee. You say, "Well, I don't know. I've got one of those kind of jobs, and it's not well with me." Just because you're not rich doesn't mean it's not well. Just because you can't go down to the store and get everything you want. I remember when Cookie and I were in Socorro, and I want to say this. This church through the years has taken good care of this preacher. You know, I've not become rich, but the church has taken good care of me. I thank you for that. But I haven't always had churches that could take good care of me. And at first, this one couldn't. But it's done what it could, and I appreciate that. But when I was in Socorro and working there, I remember a lot of times my prayer to God was, "Oh, Lord, I just pray that at the end of the paycheck, there's enough money left to take my wife to the hamburger place." You know? Listen, we was having a good time. We was building a church, and God was rewarding, and we were meeting wonderful people, and a lot of them that was listening to the Word of God and putting it to action in their lives. And I mean, we was having a good time. It wasn't financially well with my soul, but spiritually it was wonderful. My relationship with God was right where it ought to be, because I was doing what God wanted me to do. The Spirit's that part that communes with God. Now, I want to say this just so you don't misunderstand. All the work in the world can't get you to heaven. I don't care how much you work, and I don't care whether it's a job for the church or a job for the world, a secular job, a spiritual job. I don't care. You could work. You could become a pastor or a deacon. You could become a worker in the church and teach Sunday school classes. You could give and give and give until first you give till you hurt, and then you give till it feels good, you know. And you could do all of that, but the fact of the matter is it wouldn't get you one step closer to heaven, because work won't take you to heaven. The work that takes you to heaven, Christ did. That was His job. That was His work. It's already completed. And all you can do is have faith in what he's done for you, you know. If you go to work down here for, let's say you go to work for Walmart down here, let me tell you something. You don't go in and the first thing you do is start building a building. Listen, they've already got a building. It's not your job to build a building. It's your job to sweep the floor. Don't build a building. In Christianity, it's not your job to save yourself. Christ has already paid the price for that. And it doesn't matter how much you work. That's not going to get you a step closer to heaven. But if you're saved, every bit of work that you do that is specifically and definitely for the glory of God gives you rewards when you get to heaven. Jesus told Peter, there's not anything you'll do for me that you'll not receive 100-fold when you get to heaven. But not because Peter was working his way there, but because Peter was serving the Lord that had already saved him. Faith, the Bible says, faith without works is dead. That means we don't work for our salvation, but we do work because of our salvation. Over in Ephesians in chapter number 2, if I remember right. If it's not that, I'll just bail out. But Ephesians in chapter 2. It's not there. So I'll bail out rather than try and hunt and guess for it. I would find it sooner or later, but I don't want to do that. But faith... faith without works is dead. We are created, the Bible says, unto good works. When we get saved, then we're created to good works. Somebody said this, although faith alone saves, faith is never alone. It always carries works with it. The Bible says faith is made perfect by work. By work. So work is profitable then for our soul. It's honorable. It's honorable as we work for God and serve God. And God honors us as we work for man and serve man. And God honors us for that. As we become a good employee, we're honored for that. Work is honorable. Now, the downside... you know, they say if you're gonna do a motivational seminar, you'd plus minus plus. And so the plus is it's honorable. The minus is it's hard. It's not a roll in the park. You know, it's not playing at the Cascades. You know, although some kids play hard enough to make it work. But it's hard. Work is hard. The other plus is, though, it's profitable. It's profitable. It's good for us. It's healthy. We should work. Not for our salvation, but we should work. God very pointedly tells us today that work should be a big part of our life. Now, say all that just to say to us, and most of us, of course, already fit in that group, but just to say to us, listen, Christians, let's put the law of labor where it belongs. It's in the laws. I mean, it's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it's in the law of God. It's in the commandments of God that we, as Christians, ought to be the example to this world of what Labor Day is all about. We ought to be the example. How you doing, huh? Let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not sure exactly how you bring a sermon like this to a invitation, but possibly there's something here that was said that to you says, maybe I ought to make some adjustments. Maybe I ought to make some adjustments. Let me ask you to come down and make things right with God. We're going to have Miss Cookie play us just a little bit after we pray, and then as she plays the piano, you just step out of your seat and come down here if you feel the Spirit moving you today, and let God work with you as you promise to work for Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God and for these things that we have to say today. Bless the preaching of the Word. Bless the hearing of the Word, God, and open our hearts that we might respond to the Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You come while we sing. You come.